Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be today. What a joy it is to be able to come to you with another edition of Stand in the Gap radio program, originating from various places across this great country of ours. And, of course, it is a part of the American Pastors Network ministry. And so we are just delighted to have you with us, no matter where you might be today. We thank you for the pleasure of your company. Sam Rohr is over in Ukraine, and I encourage you to continue to pray for him as he is working along with a group of people over there who would love to see Ukraine become a nation like the United States of America used to be, that is, founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And, of course, Brother Sam is even working along with David Barton and some others who are over there. Our own Dale Armstrong is over there. He's our international director. And they're working with some of the folks over there, doing what they can to lay the foundation for a biblically-based constitution. So you can pray for them, and next week, the Lord willing, Sam will be back with us. And today, David Kistler, you're down in the great state of Alabama, correct?
Gary, I am. I'm privileged to be in the city of Montgomery today. Pastor David Floyd, for whom I'm privileged to preach this week, has a chapel here at the Alabama Judicial Building, and this, of course, is Judge Roy Moore's court. He is the Chief Justice of the state of Alabama. And momentarily, after this program draws to a close, we're going to be making our way across the street and up the block, and I'll be speaking to some of those that work within the court there and preaching to them in a Bible study that they conduct every Tuesday here at the Supreme Court. So, yes, Gary, it's a great day and a wonderful opportunity. Beautiful day, by the way, down here in Alabama.
Amen. And the subject of your message will be?
Becoming a Nehemiah Nation.
Well, we'll be praying for you as you preach down there, and thank the Lord for the opportunity that you have to be there representing the Lord Jesus Christ and, the American Pastors Network and the church there and whoever else you'd like to represent. It's just good that you're there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot to talk about today in the program. During the second and the third segment, we are going to be having with us Kayla Kessinger. It depends upon what part of the country you're from that determines if that G is a hard G or a soft G. We'll find out when Kayla joins us. But she is one of the 13 youngest to serve in an elected office in the United States of America from Mount Hope, West Virginia. She is in the West Virginia State Legislature, and we're going to be talking to her about what motivated her to get involved with government and what it's like being so young. And yet in such a very, 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 very important position. And so she'll be with us during the second and the third segments of the program today. But today we want to start off with something that I'm sure that many of you perhaps have already heard about, and that's the fact that this past Friday night, with overwhelming threats looming over his head, Bremerton High School from Bremerton, West Virginia, by the way, Washington, not West Virginia, but Washington, by the way, their football coach out there is a fellow by the name of Joe Kennedy, calmly walked to the 50-yard line, dropped to one knee to pray at the conclusion of the game, something that he's been doing for 5 years. And, of course, David Kistler, he's in great trouble for doing that because the Bremerton School Board says, you've got to stop doing it. You can't do it. They warned him not to pray, and they said strict adherence is required and expected, and violations cannot be tolerated. That's pretty strong language for a coach who just wants to go out in the middle of the football field and pray, not representing the high school, just representing himself because he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and wants to talk to God in prayer. Sad, sad, sad that we are in this kind of a state in America today where he's been warned not to do it.
Well, Gary, it's an egregious violation of his First Amendment rights, and it's really a slam dunk case, and Liberty Institute should have no trouble defending him or representing him in this. But for about 5 to 7 years, he's been doing this since he saw this movie that really kind of took the United States by storm called Facing the Giants that came out in 2008. he thought, you know, I'm just going to do this myself. I'm going to walk out into the middle of the field at the conclusion of every game. I'm just going to kneel down and pray and thank God for safety over the young people and for the opportunity that we have to participate in sports like this in the United States of America. And, Gary, he's not been hindered from doing that up until recently. And this past Friday was the homecoming game for the Bremerton High School football team. And he kind of gave a little bit of an advance warning saying, you know, I'm probably going to kneel and pray. You know, it's my First Amendment right to do so. He was issued this very strict letter from the Bremerton School Board that said, you are not to do that. No violations will be tolerated. And, Gary, they went on and said this. They prohibited him from praying in public or mentioning anything religious in the locker room. They banned him from kneeling or even bowing his head and demanded that his, you know, inspirational messages at halftime or at the beginning of the game be totally secular. Mm-hmm. Well, he defied that on Friday night, bowed in the middle of the field. He said, as I was praying, I noticed or could sense people gathering around me. He said, I hoped it wasn't going to be the young people from my football team. Well, not only was it the kids from his football team, it was also young people from the opposing team who came back out of the locker room and out onto the field to join him in prayer. People came out of the stands and gathered around him. And Todd Starnes, who did an interview with some of the folks out there, reported on Fox News. He said it was like something out of a movie, a made-for-TV movie. He said as the fireworks were going off in the background, there stands Joe Kennedy praying, and all these kids and all these adults around him praying with him. It was an amazing, amazing scene, kind of a Daniel-like moment, if you understand what I'm saying, Gary, from the book of Daniel.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad that he's man enough to take such a strong stance, and praise the Lord for others who surrounded him there and prayed. Ladies and gentlemen, this school district coming along and telling him not to pray, and particularly using those words that Brother Dave said there, that they also banned him from kneeling or bowing his head, think about that, and demanded that his inspirational messages be secular. You know, that is a violation of the First Amendment, not just necessarily what we would refer to as the freedom of religion, but the freedom of speech. Keep in mind that the First Amendment says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and so forth. And so his First Amendment right is being violated. Now, I would like to encourage you all to get a piece of paper and pencil out, because I'm going to ask you to write to the school principal out there at the Bremerton High School in Bremerton, Washington, and just let him know that you would like for them to give Coach Joe Kennedy the privilege, the freedom, I should say, to do that which his constitutional right allows him to do, and that is to go out there in the center of that particular football field and pray. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to have Kayla with us, but at the very beginning of the segment, I'm going to give to you the information that you'll need to have to write to the principal out there in Bremerton, Washington, and encourage the principal to allow Coach Kennedy to be able to exercise his First Amendment rights. So get ready to take down some information when we come back. And then we'll continue our program with a discussion with Kayla Kessinger. I'm looking forward to it. Don't go away. We will be back in about 4 minutes as we continue our Stand in the Gap program for Tuesday.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our 3-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through JS Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Herbert Hoover died this day, October 20th, 1964. He was America's 31st president, guiding the country through the first part of the Great Depression. During World War II, in a joint statement signed by such individuals as the widows of President Coolidge, Roosevelt, Taft, Harrison, and Cleveland, Hoover stated, "We must seek revival of our strength in the spiritual foundations which are the bedrock of our republic. Democracy is the outgrowth of the religious conviction of the sacredness of every human life. On the religious side, its highest embodiment is the Bible. On the political side, the Constitution."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, where I encourage you to go to our website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, where you can learn more about this program and other programs we produce here at the American Pastors Network, and where also you can correspond with us. There is the opportunity for you to write to us, and if you do, we will respond. That's www.standinthegapradio.com. And before we go to our interview with Kayla, again, I would encourage you to write to the principal out at the Bremerton High School in Bremerton, Washington, and ask him to allow Coach Joe Kennedy to pray, and thereby fulfilling his First Amendment right as being a citizen of the United States of America. And here is the address. You would write to Principal John A. Polm, P-O-L-M, John A. Polm, Jr., and that is the Bremerton High School, B-R-E-M-E-R-T-O-N, Bremerton High School, 1513th Street, 1513th Street, Bremerton, Washington, 98337. That's John A. Polm, Jr., Bremerton High School, 1513th Street, Bremerton, Washington, 98337. You can call him if you would rather do that. And the phone number is 360-473-0806. And again, you would call or write to ask the principal to allow the coach to exercise his First Amendment right in being able to pray before or after or during football games, whatever he would so choose to do. Again, that's John A. Polm, P-O-L-M, Jr., Bremerton High School, 1513th Street, Bremerton, Washington, 98337. If you want to call, you can do that by calling 360-473-0806. Having done that, let's go to you, David Kistler. Introduce our next guest, please.
Well, Gary, it's a delight to do so. About a week and a half ago, I was privileged to minister for the first time at a church over in Daniels, West Virginia. Outstanding church, Daniels Missionary Baptist Church. And there were a number of people in the church that told me about this young lady who was one of the youngest in the United States of America to be serving in elected office. That her name was Kayla Kessinger. And one evening before the service, we had dinner, and she was able to join us for dinner. I was very impressed with her. And Gary, as you already, I think, may have noted, she's only 22 years of age. She's incredibly sharp, incredibly articulate. She lives in Mount Hope, West Virginia. She represents Fayette County, West Virginia. And for a long time, she has been involved in politics and interested in politics. But she ran for the West Virginia House of Delegates and won by 83 votes. So those, Gary, that would say that your vote doesn't matter, it does most definitely matter. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the 13 youngest in the United States to serve in elected office. And it is a delight to welcome to our Stand in the Gap listening audience, Kayla Kessinger. Kayla, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon. I'm really excited to be on with you guys today.
Well, we're thrilled to have you aboard, and we appreciate so much what you're doing and also the opportunity to have you on. Let me jump right into it because we've got a number of things we want to ask you about. Can you describe for our listening audience just a little bit, Kayla, a little bit about your upbringing and your Christian testimony, if you could. Just share that first, and then we're going to jump over into how you even were coerced or decided or chose or were led of the Lord to run for public office. So tell us a little bit about your upbringing and then your Christian testimony.
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up in West Virginia. You got to come visit our beautiful state a couple weeks ago. We're in the height of fall, so it's been gorgeous around here, and I grew up in these hills my entire life. My parents were both believers. My dad was a pastor for the majority of my life, so I was a PK. If any of you know what it's like to be a pastor's kid. So I'm the oldest of six kids, and my dad always jokes, and he says, I don't know how you became so pro-life when you have five younger brothers and sisters. And so I've been so blessed to have parents that just encouraged me to get involved at a very young age in my community and reach out and help the hurting in our communities. My dad was really involved in Republican Party politics when I was really young. He campaigned for George W. Bush in his second election when he was running for re-election. And so I got involved with him then. And my parents have just always been the type of people that have encouraged me to get out and do stuff that maybe I might not necessarily be comfortable with, but that impact our culture and impact society. And so I'm so thankful to have had the parents that I did. I couldn't have chose a better set of parents than the ones the Lord has blessed me with, for sure.
You know, it's interesting, Kayla, that you said that your dad, who was a pastor, campaigned for George Bush. Was he a pastor at the time that he was campaigning for George Bush?
He was, and it was actually really funny because there were a couple Sundays before the election, we would all meet at our church and have prayer, and then we would all go out and lease cars.
Wow.
A whole bunch of George W. Bush literature just on church. We'd go to other church parking lots and, you know, just put, you know, little flyers that said George W. Bush is pro-life, he supports traditional marriage, you know, conservative values. And so I was 13 at the time, and we would all show up at church that morning at around 9 a.m. We would have prayer, and then we would get in groups of 2 to 4, and we would just disperse throughout the county and go canvass the county for George W. Bush.
Well, the reason why I asked that question, and of course Brother Dave will agree, many times we talk about the involvement of pastors here at the American Pastors Network and mm-hmm. encourage pastors to get out and get involved. And you know, as an individual, they've got that right. They've got that privilege to campaign for somebody if they would like to do that. And so, you know, the next time you talk to your dad, you let him know that we here at the American Pastors Network take our hats off to him for doing what he has done, because no doubt in doing what he has done, the Lord has used him to lead you in doing what you have done. Now, let me ask you this, and then we'll defer back to Dave for another question, and that is, mm-hmm. has being involved with government been something that's been in your mind a lot over these, I should say, few years of your life? You're only 22 years of age, bless your heart, but is that something that was in your heart even way back when, that you thought, well, one of these days I think I might run for an elected position?
You know, it's really funny because I've always been involved politically because my dad sort of made me be involved politically, and I'm very glad he did. But I never really thought that at this point in my life I would be running for office. I felt compelled to our state legislature. I was at our legislature almost every session pushing for life bills and things like that.
As a teenager, that is?
My senior year of high school, my senior project was on fetal growth and development. And
wow.
So I spent most of my high school, all my friends, when I decided to run for the legislature, they texted me and said, oh, we're not surprised. We figured this would be coming, because I would take my petitions to school, and I have my teachers signing my petitions, my classmates, my fellow students. And so I've always been passionate about politics, but I never in a million years thought that at 21 I would decide to run for office and actually win.
Kayla, let me ask you this question. You made a statement that when you decided to run for the West Virginia legislature, you did so because the legislature is supposed to represent the people. And you said it this way, and I think it's very well stated: how can they fully represent the people if there's nobody in the legislature that's my age? And so at 22 years of age, you chose to run. Can you explain a little bit about the process? I know you shared with me the other night at dinner when we were privileged to sit down and talk together, mm-hmm. A lengthy version of how all of this came about. Can you give us kind of a Cliff Notes version of how you were persuaded to actually run for this office?
Yeah, for sure. So like I said, I'd been involved politically for several years, and I was part of the Republican Executive Committee in Fayette County. And the county I'm from, we are historically very Democratic. We're a blue county. I was one of the first Republicans elected in Fayette County since 1928. So it's been several years since we elected a conservative Republican to our state legislature. And I was approached by some people to run, but getting ahead of myself here, I was at Regent University, and I felt led to come back home. When I got back home, some people had approached me to run for office, and I told them that the only way that I would ever run for office is if Jesus Christ himself knocked on my door and told me to put my name on the ballot. That didn't happen, but something else did, and I had talked to my mom about it. My heart started to feel compelled to run. I felt like the Lord was leading me to run, but I just had a lot of reservations. I felt unqualified. I had a lot of fears. I didn't think I could win. I didn't think, you know, I haven't finished college yet. I'm just out of high school, running in a very Democrat county. And I had a lot of, are we still on?
Yeah, we're still on, but we're going to have to take a break. So I'm going to have to interrupt you right there, Kayla, if you don't mind. But you can continue when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're listening to Kayla Kessinger, who, of course, is 22 years of age and has been elected to the West Virginia State Legislature and is doing a fine, fine job there. You won't want to miss the rest of her interview. So we're going to take a three-minute break, and then we'll be back and continue to listen to her on how the Lord led her to get involved with government. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be back right after these messages.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Former Virginia Senator Jim Webb is dropping out of the Democratic presidential race.
Webb, who has barely registered in the single digits in most national polls, is said to be disillusioned with both political parties, particularly the Democratic Party, which he believes is being pulled to the left on a variety of issues. Webb is now considering running for president as an independent.
Fox News Radio's John Decker. Webb served President Reagan as Secretary of the Navy and Assistant Defense Secretary. In Central Texas, where a wildfire has been burning for a week.
We are at 80% containment on the fire, and so we've had some progress since this time yesterday.
Bastrop County Judge Paul Pape.
Any resident in the fire footprint who wishes to re-enter to take a look at their property and assess the situation are free to do that.
Around 70 homes are destroyed. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for you. Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. What if your employer told you, a Christian, that it is fine that you hold your beliefs and practice them at your home or church, but if you talk to anyone about your faith at work or in public, even on your own time, you'll be fired? Well, that's just what the city of Atlanta admitted its position to be in court last week, in the case of Fire Chief Kelvin J. Cochran, who was fired from his job because of a Bible study book that he wrote on his own time and provided copies to other people who gladly accepted it. Chief Cochran is an example of the growing persecution of Christians in our society today. And as his case shows, it's getting to the point where living out your faith can cause you to lose your job. Chief Cochran is our special guest at our Friends of the Family banquet on Friday, October 30th in Hershey, along with keynote speaker Eric Metaxas. You can get details and make reservations at dinnerwiththefamily.org or call 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are talking to Kayla Kessinger, who, of course, is 22 years of age. She ran for the West Virginia legislature, and she won. Kayla, you said that you were the first or one of the first or one of the few Republicans elected out of that part of West Virginia since 1928. That's 86 years. That's a long time. Now, did you say you were the first or one of the first?
Yeah, so I'm from a three delegate district. So historic, since 1928, all three legislators have been Democrats from Fayette County. This year, myself and Tom Fast were the two Republicans elected, and we have one remaining Democrat in the legislature. So in 86 years, two of us have been were elected in 2014.
You know, here at the American Pastors Network, we have a ministry called Ministers Together, Kayla, recognizing that God, of course, is the one who has established civil government. And those people who are called to preach are referred to as ministers in the pulpit. And those of you who are called to government, according to Romans chapter 13, are called, you know, ministers in the government. And so we are ministers together in serving the Lord Jesus Christ in society. And I'm just glad to see that God has raised you up and put you in the position that you're in. Brother Dave, sir.
Well, Gary, you know, whenever I met with Kayla the first time, we talked a little bit about the Ministers Together concept, and I was encouraging her, you know, so thankful for what she's doing and encouraging her to continue on. And, of course, we want to encourage other young people to get involved in the political process. In fact, you can run for office. You know, educate yourself like Kayla has done, get involved in this. And if you're an adult as well, this is something you certainly should consider. It's a form of public service, but beyond that, you are a minister of God, Gary, as you so well said. Kayla, I want to ask you this. You described to me a little bit about the shock, the culture shock that it was when I spoke with you the other night at dinner, to get into the process of how the legislature works. Would you mind just talking and sharing with our listening audience the good, the bad, the ugly, about what you saw and what life is actually like in a state legislature, so that our listening audience can take a better perspective of what someone faces when they get there?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I told somebody one time, I said, running for office is a lot different than running for homecoming queen. That was the only experience that I had before I ran for state legislature. And when I got there, it was like a whole new world for me. I expected it to be a whole bunch of leaders coming together to just really discuss the problems in West Virginia, and it's interesting to look at the dynamic of people who are really there for the right reasons and people who are there for selfish reasons. And so it doesn't take you long to find out, you know, who's there really for the people. But it's interesting to hear from so many people from across the state with different values and different opinions on different issues, and that some are more passionate than others. And I think I shared with you while we were having dinner about one bill in particular, dealing with the sexual orientation and gender identity ordinances that are being passed throughout the country. Myself and several others had sponsored a bill to ban those SOGI ordinances, is what they're called. And the thing that shocked me the most wasn't the outcry of people who supported the SOGI ordinances, but the silence from people from the church. We had a public hearing, and our chamber was full of people who supported these SOGI ordinances, and in case your listeners don't know, they, in essence, they allow men who identify as women to use women's restrooms and other things like that. And out of the hundreds of people that packed our chamber to voice their opinions about that bill, there were three pastors that came to support banning these ordinances. And that to me was such a shock, because I thought, where is the church? You know, I've been involved in the church my entire life, and I knew, you know, the church tends to shy away from these issues, but when we have them right here in the heart of our state, in the heart of West Virginia, the Bible Belt, and we're discussing this, where are the believers? Where is the church? And so that was probably the biggest shock for me during the entire legislative session.
But, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about often here at the American Pastors Network, Kayla, the fact that pastors don't show up. Dave, how many times have we been involved or have heard of situations where, you know, very serious issues were being debated and the pastors were not there? You know, mm-hmm. That's a sad, sad thing. I mean, Kayla, I'm sorry that you experienced it, but it's a sad thing. And I'll bet your dad was there, wasn't he?
He did. My dad was there a lot.
He did
that day, that's for sure.
I can imagine.
One of the things that really motivated me to want to have Kayla on was when she spoke to that very issue that she just addressed, and she spoke with such passion. Mm. Gary, this is a 22-year-old young lady who really, in many ways, and I say this, I'm just going to say it the way it is, she is shaming those of us that are older within the Church of Jesus Christ. She has passion for these issues that ought to be an issue of great concern to us, and tragically, the church has been far too often asleep at the wheel. So, Kayla, what I've been praying is that your presence on the program today would be a significant motivation to those that listen to this program to get it in gear and get involved, because the church, if the church rises up, change, dramatic change can take place.
Oh, absolutely. I think what we as believers have allowed to happen, the shape our country is in right now, we can blame our politicians, we can blame whoever we want, but really the blame rests on the shoulders of believers, on those of us who have sat down and sat in our pews and shut our blinds and pretended like everything's all cupcakes and butterflies outside. And because we've heard that you're supposed to separate your faith from your politics, that there's no room for our faith in the political realm, and that couldn't be further from the truth. As believers, our faith shouldn't just determine our politics, it should determine every aspect of our life, every aspect of our lives. And I can't tell you how important it is from a legislator's perspective to hear from believers on these issues, because I'm telling you, the minority is loud. They're very loud. If you want to see your legislature passing bills that are going to protect religious freedom, that are going to protect traditional marriage, then you've got to get over your fear of being put down, losing your tax-exempt status, or whatever your concerns are, and trust that you serve a God that is bigger than your government, and fight for it.
You know, Kayla, you speak as though you're a lady twice your age with great wisdom, and we appreciate that very, very much. And, you know, what keeps coming to my mind is what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." And there is no doubt about it, but that's what you are doing. What kind of a message would you give to young people? I mean, you know, we're living in a day and age where it seems like young people are running both from the church as well as from government. What kind of advice would you give to people of your age, people that we commonly refer to as millennials? Challenge them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of my favorite things to talk about and to talk to others with is our callings and how God places specific callings on our lives, on everybody's lives. And I think a lot of times we as millennials, like you said, we tend to have this fear that we're not qualified, that we're not good enough to fill positions of leadership, when in reality, throughout all of Scripture, God always chooses the least. You look at Gideon, you look at David, you look at time after time after time when God chose somebody that necessarily didn't really, you know, it's sort of like, you know, when you're in middle school and you're in gym class, or you're going to play dodgeball, and they're picking teams, and you've always got the biggest, strongest, best players picked first, and then you've always got kind of like the nerds left, and they don't get picked. I was always that nerd that never got picked. I always joke and say these hands are made for spirit fingers, not basketball. But God baffles our minds in that He always picks those people that will be picked last in life. And so my biggest, if I could encourage anybody to do anything, it's to realize that you are qualified, not anything on your own, but that God has given you gifts and abilities, and maybe it's to run for office, maybe it's to support candidates, maybe whatever God has called you to do, you have the ability to do it. Don't let fear keep you from doing it, because that's what I did for so long. I fought against it, and I didn't feel qualified. I didn't feel like I would that I was the best person for the job, and the Lord just reminded me. He just said, when have I ever called the qualified? Mm-hmm. And so my heart is just to encourage youth and just people in general not to let fear hold them back from reaching their potential.
Amen.
Kayla, you were honored just recently by being invited to a large gathering in Washington, D.C. It's called the Value Voters Summit. And because you are one of the youngest in the country to be serving in the state legislature, you were invited to speak at that event. I want to ask you two questions, and we have about 60 seconds or less, if you could give a real quick answer. number one, what was that that event like for you? And then number two, are you planning on running again? Because we sure hope you will.
20 seconds, Kayla.
The event was encouraging for me to see so many people that believe the same. I don't feel like the only right-wing nut out there. So it was a huge encouragement. And I am planning on running again. I'm in the process of getting my campaign underway now.
And Kayla, we are going to pray for you, and I hope that you'll be able to be back with us sometime in the future on Stand in the Gap today. God bless you for following the leading of the Lord and being willing to be in government. We're going to watch you. We're going to pray for you. We want God to use you. Thank you, Kayla, for being with us today.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a break, but we'll be back with more right after these messages.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
In Isaiah chapter 31, the prophet says, "Woe to them who trust in horses and chariots and military strength to defend them when evil arises and war is in the air." Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. As Russia invades the Middle East, over 100 conflicts are raging around the world, Israel is under siege, and America is continually threatened by its enemies, Isaiah's advice for Israel then is God's warning for us today. The strength of horses will fail. Military equipment will fail. The great armies of the world will fail. When God, the King of Kings, comes to judge with righteousness, all human strength will fail. The warning is clear. If we put our trust in man and machines, we'll lose. The promise is also clear. If we put our trust in Him, He'll be our unfailing strength and shield. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, don't trust in man and lose. Trust in God and win.
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. David Kistler had to run off, as he said at the beginning of the program. He has the opportunity at the top of the hour to be able to speak to the justices in the Alabama Supreme Court. And, of course, as you know, that, of course, is Roy Moore's court down there in Alabama, a great defender of the faith, Roy Moore is. And Brother Dave's going to be preaching or speaking to them on becoming a Nehemiah nation. So I would encourage you to pray for Brother Dave as he is speaking to them at the top of the hour. But, you know, I'm just so thankful for Kayla Kissinger. You know, we need more young people like her, just 22 years of age and has sensed the Lord leading her into government. And it's unbelievable that she is just one of two people, as I understand it, who has been elected to the state legislature from Fayette County in West Virginia, one of two people elected to that position since 1928. That's in 86 years. And she had people saying, you can't do it. It can't be done. You shouldn't do it. You're too young. What do you know? But she did it, and she got elected, and she is going to run again for that particular position. I want to encourage you to pray for Kayla Kissinger as she goes about this great responsibility of hers. Who knows, in that she's just 22 years of age, she may be somebody that we might be looking at who will run for the position of governor for West Virginia, or maybe even the presidency of the United States down the road. I think she'd be a better female candidate than Hillary Clinton, but that's a story for another time. But, you know, I want to talk to those of you who are parents for a little bit, if I may. Kayla said that she was brought up as a PK. That is a pastor's kid, a preacher's kid, whatever you want to say. And, of course, her dad was very actively involved with government. And I like to use that term government better than politics. You know, politics is everywhere. I've often heard people say, I've often heard preachers say, I don't want to be involved with politics. Well, to pastors who say that, my suggestion to them is get out of your church. Because everybody knows there are politics in the church. And you know, so let's not talk about the politics side of it. Let's talk about the government side of it. And keep in mind that government is one of God's three institutions, the first being the home, the second being civil government, and the third being the church. And praise the Lord for people like Kayla Kissinger at the age of 22 running for this position and being elected one of the first, one of the only two Republicans elected to that position since 1928. That's a David and Goliath type of a thing, ladies and gentlemen. You can't deny it. That is a David and Goliath type of a situation. But parents, I just, as I said, want to talk to you for a moment. What are you teaching your children? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up your children in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And there is a lot that goes into that training. And one of the things that I challenge parents to do in teaching their young people, and one of the things that I challenge young people to do is this. First of all, ask God if He wants you to be involved in ministry. Now, I'm speaking to young people at this particular point, but I'm going to draw it back to the parental responsibility in a moment. Young people, The first question I would encourage you to ask, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, is say to God, God, do you want me in the ministry? Would you want me to serve as a pastor or as a missionary or as an evangelist or as a Bible teacher or whatever the case may be? If God does not lead you into that particular field of service, then I suggest that you consider four other potential areas. Number one is government. And I say that because government, as I mentioned, is an institution of God, and we need good, solid Christian conservatives in government today. We have a constitution that's based upon biblical facts, biblical truth, our Judeo-Christian heritage, and we need Christians in government who will be able to uphold that constitution effectively. The second thing that I encourage young people to consider is education. We need good, solid, conservative Christians in education, teaching the truth about how we got here. We didn't evolve. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created everything else as well. The third area I encourage young people to get involved with, if God has not called them into ministry, is in the area of the law. The law. We need good, solid, Christian, conservative lawyers. Who once again understand the Constitution and can make decisions based upon the natural law, the law of God, the law of the Scriptures. And then number four, I often encourage young people, if God hasn't called you into the ministry, consider going into media, radio, television, print, technology. I mean, wherever you want to go with that, in the media. Because it just seems as though that there are so many liberals in the media these days. We need men and women who are solid Christian conservatives there as well. So I say to young people, if God hasn't called you into the ministry, ask Him if He wants you there. But if He doesn't call you into the ministry, then seriously, ask Him about the possibility of serving in government, education, law, and media, because those four areas can make a great big difference for Christ in our society today, and there is a need for Christians in those areas. Now back to the parents. Parents, how are you training your children? I encourage you, don't just tell your children to go out and get a good job. Don't just tell them to go out and get a good education so that they can get a good job. No, encourage them to consider ministry. And ask God if He would have them involved in some form of ministry. And if He doesn't call them there, encourage them, prayerfully, lovingly encourage them to get involved in government, education, law, or media. Because you see, in those four areas, five, if you want to include ministry, and we certainly put that right up on top, in those five areas, a Christian has the opportunity to act as salt and light in a way that can influence others in their community, in their state, in their country, and indeed in the entire world. So, you know, parents, I say this, God has given you children to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord to serve the Lord. Challenge them to go into the ministry and or government, education, law, and media, and watch how God will use them for His glory. And you know what? I think as a Christian parent, you would be honored as well. Well, the Lord willing, on the program tomorrow, we will have with us Dr. Jimmy DeYoung again. We're looking forward to having him. And David Kistler will be back. Pray for Dave as he speaks to the Alabama Supreme Court justices and their aides. Continue to pray for Sam Rohr as he is in Ukraine. But in about 23 hours, we will be back with you with another edition of Stand in the Gap Today. Until then, I'm Gary Dahl saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up because we know the best is yet to come. Amen? Amen. Have a great day, everybody.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.